this is Epiphany Sunday, I'd like to start with a reading from the Gospel of Matthew on the visit of the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ had been born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And it is my prayer at this time, Father God, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. One of the things that always got me about this story was the presence that the Magi brought to Christ. And I can just see Mary sitting there appreciating these gifts. Well, certainly we could use the gold. Who couldn't use some gold either now or ever? Well, the incense, I don't know about that. I mean, the incense was there to represent the fact that Jesus was to be the high priest of Israel. He was to be the king, and that's what the gold was for, to represent the fact that he would be the king. And then there came the myrrh. Just imagine Mary's excitement when she got a box full of myrrh. If you don't know what myrrh is, it's a spice that is used for preserving the dead. I guess the equivalent today would be embalming fluid. What a marvelous gift to give a baby. I couldn't imagine she'd have been too very excited about that. But again, it represents the fact that Jesus, and this is not something we think about in the Christmas season, but Jesus was born to die for us. So this was important. It was something that he would one day need. And the Magi knew this. They presented him with the things that he needed, not necessarily the things that somebody would want for a baby, the things he needed. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is those things that we need, as opposed to the things that we want. You see, when we go before God, we have a list of prayer concerns, and when we prayed this morning, we certainly went over our list of prayer concerns. There are people we care about, oftentimes who are sick, and we pray for those people. And we pray for miracles to happen, and they don't always happen, because we don't always get the things that we want. But God, being a good father to us all, provides us with the things that we need, as any good parent does. As we just came through the Christmas season, you know, I certainly, and I don't think anybody really for Christmas gets all the things that they want. But sometimes we do get things that we need. For example, Ruby got some socks. She needed socks. And I want to show you what my mother gave me for Christmas. It is certainly not something I wanted, but it is something I need. You see, my mother, being a good parent, recognized the fact that I'm getting a little thin in the back. So she got me this hair hat. I didn't want this, but I need it. And I can't wear it for long because it makes my head sweat. It's very furry and warm. You see, we come before God with the things we want. And I know my mom asked me a couple weeks before Christmas, she said, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I told her, "I want a new baby brother." We go before God with the things that we want. We come to Him with lists. We come to Him with lists of the things we want. And we're not always provided the things that we want, but He does provide us the things we need, and He does provide us the things that are good. And I wanted to cite a couple of examples in Scripture. Now, before I go on, I want to point out, there are churches out there that will tell you that if you go to God with any concern and with any need, provided you have sufficient faith, God will give you everything you want, no matter what it is. You'll see a lot of preachers on TV who will tell you this, and then they'll turn around and tell you, after you pray for the thing you want that you didn't get, they'll tell you that you didn't get it because you didn't have enough faith. One particular TV evangelist I remember a few years ago, his wife was very sick with cancer. And he would talk about this in his ministry, and he would point out the fact that she was sick and dying from cancer. But if people just had enough faith, and if people prayed with enough faith, the cancer would go away. She died from the cancer. And he very promptly got on the television and announced that the reason she died from the cancer was because she didn't have enough faith. Shame on him. Shame on him for that. I attended a church at one time. I had gone there for a few weeks, and a membership class was coming up. This was back when I was in college, and some of my college fraternity brothers had gone with me to this church, and we liked the service, and we liked the messages the preacher was bringing, and so we decided to join the church together. I think there were probably five or six of us. And I remember one particular Sunday, maybe 3 weeks after we joined, the pastor got up in the front, and he said, "Everybody who wants a brand new car, everybody who wants a brand new Cadillac, come on up here, and we'll lay hands on you, and God will give you a brand new car." Well, my fraternity brothers and I stood up and walked out the back of the church and never went back. See, God takes care of us and gives us the things we need, maybe not the things we want. And it's not a matter of faith. If it was, if you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I know it's Christmas and not Easter time, but I'm going to talk about the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus knew He was about to be hung on the cross, He was praying to God, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." You see, Jesus, the man part of Jesus knew what was coming and did not want to be nailed to the cross. Who could possibly want that? And if anybody's going to get what they pray for, wouldn't it be Jesus? But not what He wanted, but what was best for all of us. He finished His prayer quite wisely by saying, "Yet not as I will, but as You will." So unlike the TV evangelists today who will stand up and pray, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme." Again, another great man of faith, the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, I'm reading all of this because there's a little bit of background to make some of it make sense. "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in body or out of body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, he doesn't specifically say what this thorn in his flesh was, but he prayed for God to take it away from him 3 times. Now, certainly the Apostle Paul is a man of faith, and God would grant him anything he wanted, right? No. Whatever this thorn in his flesh was, he needed it to keep him humble, even though he wanted to be rid of it. It was best that he have it. And though it may not seem like a good thing at the time, he was able to recognize the good that it created. Despite what they will tell us on television, God really isn't that concerned with our comfort. He is concerned with our character. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He protects us. But he doesn't always give us the things that we want. The things we need, yes. The things that are best for us, yes. Like socks. Like hair hats. Like a new day. Like a fresh start. Like his son who would die on a cross for us. Because there's no way that we ourselves could make up for the things that we have done. Like a good father, he loves us enough to sometimes say no. Like any good father, he gives us what we need over what we want. Good gifts, better than the things we think we need. There is true wisdom in that. And there is true wisdom in us when we can see the difference. For me, myself, certainly, a hair hat will do me more good than a baby brother. I think my mother agrees. As the good father, God is always thinking about what is best for us. And he knows that better than we do. I know myself as a child, I couldn't tell the difference. As I've grown in age and eventually become a father myself, now I can see the difference. We need to look sometimes, to try to look through his eyes at our lives, see the difference between what we want and what we need. He always has his hand upon us. He is always guiding us, always leading us. You know that poem about the footprints in the sand? I can't recite the poem, but I saw a little comic strip not too long ago. It was Jesus standing on the beach with a young man and said to him, "You know, look out there at where we've been. Do you see where there's the one set of footprints? That's where I carried you. And you see over there the long line drawn in the sand? That's where I dragged you." Because sometimes we need to be dragged. Because sometimes that's best for us. In our obstinance, we'll sit down and wait because we want to, because we're tired. But that's not good for us. God's all about giving us what's best. God's all about giving us what we need, not always what we want. So if we think about it, sometimes the things that we want are very bad for us. I want to be able to eat ice cream every day, but I don't. It's bad for me. Today I understand that. There have been times in my life when I didn't, and it has led to some destructive behavior. I'm at a point now where my doctor wants me to lose 100 pounds. I prayed to God for a miracle. We don't always get what we want. Could God make the 100 pounds disappear from me in an instant? Yes, he could. He hasn't yet. It's going to take some work for me to do it, but he will still be with me. Because he knows it is best for me to lose that 100 pounds. He will be with me and he will guide me. He will help me. I have every faith in that. But I have to do some of the work too. He leads us. He guides us. He gives us what is best for us. He gives us what we need. We don't always get what we want. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
By the loving heart, yes, by the loving heart, Lord, give us a loving heart to do your will.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so that you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today is a reminder that God blesses us. He answers our prayers. He provides us with all the things in life that are good, whether we want them or not, whether there is something we'd rather have or not. What He gives us is the best thing. Sometimes we forget that. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.